Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Man's Voice here on this Sunday sequestered afternoon. Most people are in their houses listening to us, and we understand that, but I want to say welcome to the panel. And I want to, you know, we have a lot of listeners, I guess, tonight because everybody that has so we have a couple of people from Florida. We have somebody in Michigan. We have somebody, actually three people in Florida are on the line right now. But anyway, so welcome, guys. I guess, you know, the one thing that the world is talking about, well, at least the United States is talking about, is this coronavirus, because there's so many people who are captured in their houses who have been confined to not go out in the world. So I know that there are 30,000 confirmed cases in the United States, and of that 30,000, 384 have passed away. So there's deaths because of it, 384. And so 30,000 confirmed is actually half of what New York State is. Because New York State is actually 60,000 people live in New York State. So we have half of New York, if you wanted to put it in perspective, half of New York has coronavirus. But that's how many people across the United States. But so how are you guys doing being closed in? Like, Bruce, what's going on
It's driving me. I know it's necessary, but it's driving me crazy. I didn't step out of my condo for 2.5 days other than to get the newspaper on the porch. And I did go out to get a few essentials today. And honest to God, I found a roll of toilet paper. Could not believe it.
Where did you find it at?
At a Kroger store.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And you'll be proud. There were quite a few packages, probably about 40 or 50 packages left on the shelf. It said no more than three. Two guys and I were standing there, and we said, well, let's each take one and leave more for somebody else. And maybe it was peer pressure, but we all did the right thing. We each took one and we left. So hopefully nobody doubled back to take more. I didn't.
Wow. All right. Let me toss out something that I found was very interesting, strange and interesting. In 1720, there was a plague, and they called it the Plague of Marseille, but it was cholera. 1820, there was another plague, cholera outbreak, and, you know, that was important. 1920, there was a bubonic plague outbreak, and now, 2020, there's a coronavirus outbreak. So it seems that every 100 years, something is happening in the 20-year. That's kind of strange. Don't you think that's – what would you say about that, Don?
David, your research is awesome. You know, what you said in a long story is we've been through this before. You're absolutely right. And what makes this one different than the other ones that we've gone through? Let's spotlight that. First of all, were we prepared for this epidemic that we're going through now? And I don't think we were prepared. And that's going to be the main topic as we're experiencing it right now. As Bruce so eloquently said, he's looking for toilet paper. You know, What's toilet paper got to do with a virus?
But not much.
It has not much, but it has everything to do with a virus because we got to clean ourselves. And we weren't prepared. We didn't have the mask. We didn't have the medicine. We didn't have anything. I don't think we had anything to be prepared. I got my grandkids home with me, and I got my grandson coughing, and I got we're at home, and we're quarantined, and we went walking the other day, and there were very few people walking. The grocery stores are crazy. You got to wipe down the buggies before you put your hand on them. This is crazy. I'm going to talk about the quarantine right now because I don't want to get distracted because owning a small business, you know where my mind is. My mind is on money. And with this new administration we have in office, I've learned how to just follow the money. Just follow the money, Don.
What do you mean by that, Don?
Well, what I mean by that is that last time we bailed out situations that we had like this, but our country is going to invest close to $4 trillion when it's all over. They're talking about $1 trillion right now, but it's going to take about $4 trillion. And last time we dispersed large sums of money, the corporations got rich, bought back their stock, and it didn't go to the people that were really intended to go to. And I'm concerned about that again. They're saying people are going to get a check for $1,000, $1,200. Well, what about the person that is going to get $600 that didn't file the taxes, got to pay for the rent, got to buy some food, got to buy some meds? But if you get $75,000 a year, you're going to get $1,200. And then these corporations, last time we gave money, all they did was take the money and buy back their stock. I'm a small business. I got employees to pay. I got to run business tomorrow as usual from my home and my employees from the home. I'm concerned about that.
Wow. All right. So, you know, the stimulus thing hasn't been, Pelosi won't pass it. She won't bring it to the House to pass. She says there's too many errors in it or something that's not really explained. So we don't even know how that's going to work or if it's going to work. But
just, David?
Yeah.
Just a matter of an hour or so ago, I think, unless it was longer by tape. She said that she's not there. The bill that the House and the Senate have been working on together isn't going to work, and she's going to put together a bill again just from the House. And the Senate says they're going to try and pass the one that's already there that both parties worked on. So here we go again. You wonder, can these two parties work together even in the worst of situations? God, I hope so. But I don't like hearing that kind of stuff.
Well, Bruce, you know, you're absolutely right, and you brought it up. If you can remember last week, McConnell was at a party with his buddies where we were trying to deal with this situation. So, like I said, we are not prepared. We were distracted from the very beginning, and now we're trying to make serious situations in a hurry. And it's a sense of fear in the world today, and there's a difference in concern and fear. And I'm a man of faith, and, you know, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. But I've got to be concerned. And it looks like our political leaders, they need to get on one page and get concerned.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Bruce, you had any comments on that? Like, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I agree with what Don said, and it just is frustrating that, and I hope we won't go down the same path again that we seem to have worn thin many, many times before. And that path is, we'll get through this, we'll kind of pull together, maybe that's the optimist in me, we'll get the health threat under control, I won't even say solved, under control, perception will change, the market will start going up, and the worst thing that will happen is we'll forget all about this. I think positive things will come out of it, but I really, really hope and pray that we finally learn some lessons where we not only have to help in the global sense, but we have to help ourselves. If we're not strong enough to keep ourselves healthy in more ways than one, we can't do a very good job of helping others. So it goes back to what Don said as well, that it roots back to working together and not letting the cheapest dollar dictate everything that we do. We got so many things coming in from China now, what, 80, 85% of health and products and everything you can think of come from foreign countries, mostly from China, but other countries too. And we've let all that disappear from our local landscape, and we need to bring some of that back so we can have more control on our own health in this case.
Hey, you know, I'm from Michigan, and I'm going to bring something to mind real quick, and I'm going to back out. In 2008, we went through the economic crash, automobile industry, banking industry, real estate industry. I'm going to stop right there. And it crashed, and we had people from foreign countries, Chinese, come in and do bailouts and bundles of property to property, real estate property, and bought the land in America.
Yep. Yep.
And now here it is, 2020, we got a chemical war. Where'd it come from, ladies and gentlemen? Where'd it come from? So, repeat.
One of the things that there seems to be a big question is the president using this virus as, and calling it publicly, the Chinese virus. And it seems that a lot of people are concerned that, especially Chinese Americans are concerned that people will start blaming them and hurting them. Let's hear from Ron. What do you think about the president using that? And is it 100? I haven't seen anybody come up with 100% that is actually where it came from. I think we're just speculating that's where it came from. Go ahead, Ron.
I think it's more than speculation. I think it's been documented that it came from China, but I disagree that the president should be calling it the Chinese virus, because I personally feel that has racial undertones, and you have to be very careful. You know, when you're dealing with a pandemic that affects not every country, but pretty much it probably will be every country in the world. You have to be careful. You know, that the things you say have to be very carefully thought of. I'll give you an example. I received a video today, a shocking video from Buenos Aires, Argentina. What happened there is in one of the Chinese restaurants, they brought in, I don't know if anybody has seen it besides me, but I have friends in Argentina. That's why I saw it today. They brought in a girl to work in the restaurant from China, and it turns out that the girl was positive for the virus. Nobody knew it. I guess she came in before all the testing and all that. And so there was outrage. And a couple of people, or maybe more than a couple, I don't really know, that wasn't clear, went with guns into the store and killed every single Chinese employee that was in the store. It's horrible. You have to be very careful, you know. Words are more powerful than the swords. You know, that's such a true statement. And when you when you say something like the Chinese virus, you know, that in some people, not, you know, not everybody, but in some people, that maybe creates an underlying fear / hatred of Chinese people. I hate to put it that way, but, you know, there's many people that overreact to statements like that. And I want to say, you know, Don, you said, you know, you're concerned rather than fearful. I have to say that I am both. I'm concerned and I'm also fearful because I've been hearing, especially today, that, you know, if you look at the there's a website called Worldometer, and it actually keeps live, you know, up to the minute rankings on you know, the viruses, the countries, you know, the rate of infection, death rates, et cetera. And I think the U.S. was either fourth or fifth right now. But there's been people, and I've seen this in the mainstream media today, that have said that it won't be long before the United States is, you know, surpassing Italy, which right now I think is second behind China. And another comment that I heard today, which was even scarier, and this was from the mayor of New York City, Mayor de Blasio. He made a prediction, and by the way, I have a friend in New York City who's positive, so it's affected me personally. The prediction was that April is going to be much worse than March, and May is going to be much worse than April. So Italy, Spain, I've heard horror stories coming out of Spain, you know, and they've been going through this. They're like a week and a half or so ahead of us, you know, so we're a little bit behind. So, and they're just now on a daily basis seeing more deaths than they did the previous day. Every day is a new record-breaking day for death. I know that the populations are different, but I think, and maybe we should talk about this, is what we've done and what we're doing now is great. Don't get me wrong, but I think it was a little too late. You know, our medical professionals, they're begging. I see it on the news all the time. They're begging because they're running low on masks. They're running low on the shields that protect their eyes. They're running low on equipment. And the ventilators, that's a whole nother story. So, you know, I know that President Trump invoked the Defense Production Act, but what I haven't seen, and I heard Mayor de Blasio say this, is where is the So Trump invoked the Defense Promotion Act, which means that, you know, companies can ramp up production on things like masks, for example, like they've done in World Wars. But what I don't understand is why hasn't there been an urgency to tell companies, hey, we need you to start this right now, you know? And then this morning, I heard the FEMA director say, oh, yeah, it's great that, you know, that the president invoked the Defense Production Act, but that's just like an insurance, a safety net, and we'll call upon it if we need it. Well, I think we need it right now. I think we needed it 2 weeks ago.
The same for that.
Well, here's another scary.
Was that Michael?
No, it was me. But Don, finish your comment. He didn't hear it.
Oh,
no. Ron was referring to an act. It's the Sanford Act. He's absolutely right. And Ron, you're right on point. It's nothing but a racial divide. We don't need to get distracted about it being a Chinese disease. It's a racial distraction. We don't need that.
Right.
We need to beef up our medical team right now, because if the medical team gets stricken with this disease, then who do we have to take care of us?
Yeah, then we're really in trouble.
There is 5,000 medical workers, including doctors and nurses in Italy, that are positive with the virus. 5,000 is what I saw in one story today.
Instead of worrying about not only the thin blue line, but we'll have to worry about the thin red line so that our health providers can stay healthy enough on the front line, because you and I can't. We can help them, but we're not doctors and nurses. At least most of us aren't. We need them to be healthy enough healthy enough to fight this thing. And I heard a scary comment this morning, don't know if it's true or not, but I wouldn't doubt it, that one person infected, you know, seriously enough that maybe they need to go to the hospital, kind of unchecked, could easily infect more than 40 to 50,000 people in a week, week and a half.
Wow.
You know,
well,
Bruce,
let me tell
Bruce.
You know, the pyramid thing. He infects two more, they infect four more, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And if that's even close to being true, and we decide after 2 or 3 weeks I've had enough of this, I'm going outside, we're really going to screw ourselves royal. We have to somehow have enough guts and determination to do what at least we think is right. And we all know that as frustrating as it is, staying isolated from others is not a bad thing in controlling this. It's a good thing.
Bruce, you're absolutely right. But, you know, Ron and I are down here in South Florida, and we just hear me well. We just closed the beaches 3 days ago, bro.
That's crazy. Absolutely
crazy.
The
hotels, there's been a mandate for all hotels in Miami-Dade to shut down. I think it's either tonight or tomorrow night. But why didn't they do this earlier? I mean, the rankings of how states are Yes, we weren't prepared. When you look at the rankings of how states have reacted to this virus, I think Florida is 41 or 45 out of 50. I mean, it's scary. There's people out there, including my roommate. He's out there, you know, and I'm fearful because I have underlying health issues, and, you know, I don't know where he's been.
And here's another one. We live in a state where the Seminole Indians are a sovereign nation. They just closed the Hard Rock Casino day before yesterday and the hotel.
Imagine how many people were in there with the virus around.
They showed Clearwater Beach today too. There's a ton of people on the beach.
And they just started the massive testing with the National Guard and all of that. They just started that yesterday or maybe day before, and there's only been a few hundred tests done, and they're only doing people 65 and over that have symptoms. So you know that there's a ton of people walking around with the virus that either don't have symptoms or, you know, they don't even know it because they haven't been tested. That's the scary part.
They don't know.
And these young kids were on their spring break, and they wanted to get it all in, man. They didn't want anything to mess up the spring break, so they're going to take it home to Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah.
It impacts all ages. I just heard today that a 37-year-old police officer, I forget where from, but with no health issues, died because of coronavirus. So this can have an impact on anybody.
Yeah, I heard that too, Ron. They started out misinforming people probably because they didn't know enough and were so hungry to have immediate answers, whatever the case was, that, you know, the younger set were kind of somewhat isolated from being infected, and that was totally wrong. It's not true.
Right, exactly.
All right, guys.
We need leadership that's going to get us focused.
And then the other thing is, I think in a crisis like this, I think decisions need to be made and mandated down the line from the federal level to, you know, it makes no sense to me that Georgia does something completely different than Florida, completely different from Maryland. You know, this is a nationwide crisis. Just because there's less people infected in Georgia maybe than Florida, for example, doesn't mean that it's not going to spread to Georgia. I think that's wrong. I think this should be treated as a nation problem, national problem.
Leadership.
Okay,
Jeremiah, what do you think of all this?
And I said it needs to be like a system-wide effort, meaning, you know, everybody's on the same page. And I thought about something a few minutes ago. You know, we have testing facilities popping up, but my question is: these tests, what implicates you have coronavirus? Like, you know, what are they looking for? Is it your T-cell count, your B-cells? What is it that tells us that you have this infection? And they have not released that information. You know, what? I haven't heard anything about that.
Well, Go ahead, Don.
No, I just heard symptoms, but, you know, this test that they're giving out to everybody, what are they looking for with this test?
Right, right. Yeah. But ultimately, and even if we knew that, Jeremiah, and we went to one of these tent drive-through facilities, got tested, and heaven forbid both of us registered positive, you could be over it in a week or so or 2 weeks, whatever they think the incubation period is, but then you could get infected all over again. I mean, it's not like a one and done. It can happen over and over and over again if we got people walking around that don't even know they have it.
All right, guys. I want to jump in with a comment because last week we talked about this theory of what's going on in North Korea. And I know that North Korean president claimed that the president of the United States sent him a letter telling him he is going to help him with his coronavirus if he ever has it. So I don't know why our president is telling North Korea there he's going to help them when he hasn't really helped his own country at this moment. But and what bothers me about that is this last week, South Korea is complaining that the North Korea military fired two short-range ballistic missiles at them. So once again, I don't know what these missiles are carrying in them, but why is this man out here shooting missiles, and why is our president telling North Korea that he's going to send help to help him with his coronavirus issues? There's something bothers me about that, because I would think he would, as president, he would spend as much time doing in the United States, and he's getting a lot of flack on not stepping up to the plate or not giving leadership, which I know somebody in his cabinet has had to tell him. And, you know, and I don't understand this. Darius, what do you think about that? I thought he was on there. What about you, Spencer? Okay, this ought to be good. Spencer. All right. He just won't say anything.
Hello. He went to the restroom. I don't know if he wanted to wait up.
Okay. We'll let it happen. All right. So, Ron, what do you think about that?
His going to the bathroom?
No, I'm not going to the bathroom. No. It's not that.
All that talk got him nervous, man. He had to go to the restroom.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So, Ron, what are your thoughts on this? I don't understand this North Korea like between our president helping them and not really helping his own country first.
Well,
and that the North Koreans are shooting missiles again.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know about that. I'm just hearing that for the first time right now. But, you know, it's ludicrous that if it's true that North Korea is shooting missiles, that they're doing this in the middle of a world pandemic. What the hell are they thinking? You know, and why, and if it's true, why is Trump being nice to the guy? I don't get it. I mean, it's, again, leadership, Don.
Leadership or under the global agreement.
You know what it is? Gentlemen, it's a clear sign of things that we talked about all year long. It's the tail wagging the dog again.
Yeah. Wow.
I got news for you, gentlemen. At least until the end of this year, the team, both Republican, Democrat, House, Senate, and executive, are going to stay who they are. So we got to find out some way. Maybe it's pressure through our own representatives to get them to a place they need to, that we at least feel confident that things are being done as best they can with what they have. We're not going to change the people in power within the next until the end of 2020, January of 2021. So, I mean, we can complain about it, and that's not necessarily bad, but that doesn't solve the problem.
Yep, and our lives depend on it right now.
Exactly.
What's that?
And, you know, Bruce, you said it so eloquently, but see, the thing is, we have been so focused revenue and money that we now have a visible enemy that we can't see, we can't fight, we don't know how to fight, we're not prepared to fight. Money is not the issue. And see, we've had, right now, we got four or five Senate Republicans that knew about this and moved their stock and capitalized financially before they told anybody like you and I about this situation. It's all about the money. They've been chasing the money in this entire administration. It's been so money stock focused. And now there's a big bad enemy.
Well, Don, you're right. There were three Republicans and one Democrat. Ms. Feinstein is the Democrat, and then there were, and then the head of one of the group for the Republicans is another. So yes, you're right. And all of us kind of scratch our heads and go, really? Interesting. But we've always been a country, fortunate or unfortunate, that is driven by economy, by the money, by what we make, what the stock market makes. That's inherent. I'm not saying it's necessarily should be that way, but it's been that way as long as we can remember. So stepping out, as you said, and you're exactly right, stepping out of that lane and into the lane of, we got a pandemic to fix that we've never heard of, seen, or dealt with before, is totally foreign to what we do. And I think in large part, even the best people in power are trial and error. They don't really know what exactly to do, I think they would have done it. It's trial and error. They're trying different things, different ways, and supply lines and everything. We're unprepared, as you said, but I don't know that we would have ever been prepared for something like this. We would have never foreseen it. Someone predicted it 6 months ago, they would have said, you're nuts. What are you talking about? But look what's happened.
But Bruce, somebody we haven't heard from in this whole conversation is Michael. Michael, you usually have a lot to say. What are your thoughts on this whole pandemic thing we're talking about?
Well, a couple of things. First, I want to go back to what we talked about, those checks that are negotiated to go out. And we were talking about racism. I think people are overlooking that concept, the fact that there are a bunch of old racist white Republicans sitting around negotiating checks just to go out to the American public. As a black man, for some reason, I feel like they're going to come up with a way to make sure I don't get one of those checks. So that's just one thing. And I guarantee, I mean, it's laughable, but I guarantee you when the checks start going out, see how many men of color get those checks. Secondly, something you said last week, David, about how you feel like North Korea had something to do with this. I laughed when you said it, but after this week, I thought more on it. Like, David may have had a point on that. I think this could be an attack from another country, from a foreign entity, because you're not hearing a lot about North Korea or Russia, for that matter, or people in those countries that are getting this disease and dying from it. Excuse me, getting this virus and dying from it. And to the point about the stock market, yeah, that's horrible that those Republicans and that one Democrat from my state, California, Dianne Feinstein, how they manipulated the disease and the information so that they can gain money in the stock market. I mean, I think that's just horrible. Martha Stewart went to jail for that, so I think they should be held accountable and go to jail as well.
So right, my brother.
Go ahead, John. You have some comments?
No, my brother's right on target. He's right on target.
All right. What about you, Bruce? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, maybe it's my naivete, but Michael's comment about whether it be black, whether it be any other minority or any age group, maybe age discrimination too, I don't know, not getting something close to what others are getting, they'd all be hanging themselves. They'd be just ostracized by the public. So I think if they're going to do this $1,200 a person or whatever the number is, that they are not going to screw around with it. I don't think they will. At least not this time.
Hey, Bruce.
Yeah.
Let's look at the numbers. To get 1,200, you got to make less than $75,000.
I think that's right, or 70. Yes, something like that. Yep.
Okay. What about the busboy, table waiter working on tips, or the server that makes $20,000 a year? How much are they gonna
I haven't. Have you heard? Have you heard of a floor? I didn't.
Yeah, the floor is 23,000.
The floor is 23,000.
Yeah, the floor is 23,000.
Okay.
So below that they will get nothing.
So if they get something, it's $600. Now, what's that going to do? Is that going to pay rent, food?
No.
Medicine?
No.
No.
But it might pay something, but not enough. Not enough.
So we're taking care of people that are making $675,000. What about that small person that can't even make the ends meet? That's affected by this. We're going to have $1 trillion. That's a drop in the bucket. Come on, man. I'm willing to bet you right now it's going to be close to about $4 trillion when this thing is all over with.
Who knows what it's going to be, but whatever we do, it probably won't be enough. Well, did you hear a reason why they put a bottom on the criteria?
Well,
no,
I didn't hear a reason, but I'm pretty sure the reason is what I stated. They're going to try to figure a way that certain people don't get those checks. And another thing, I guarantee you they're going to throw in there is the one thing most African-American men in this country have in common is that the majority of us have a felony conviction on our record. I guarantee you they're going to throw that one in there somewhere, that if you have a felony conviction, you don't get one of these checks.
If they do, Michael, I'll be sad to admit that you're exactly right. There's no reason if someone with a felony record is out trying to make their life better, they should be treated the same way as far as this amount of money they get. Shouldn't make any difference.
Well, they already pulled it in Amendment Number 4 here, where felons were able to vote. We voted it in with Amendment Number 4 in Florida, but the administration put in there that if you haven't paid your fines, you can't vote. The bill passed that you can vote. But let's go back now. What you did back then, that since you if you haven't paid your fines, you can't vote.
Mm-hmm. So
now,
you're making
what
my
about,
argument. They're going to figure out a way to make sure that men of color don't get those checks. It's a bunch of racist white guys, Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump. Trust and believe they're not going to do right by men of color. They're not.
What about the people incarcerated? Were they getting any of that money?
Of course not.
Oh, okay.
I don't know one way or the other, to be honest. I didn't hear that they were excluded, but I wouldn't say they were included either. I don't know.
Well, so that's what really scares me about this is, once again, it goes back to leadership. We are in a crisis right now, but our leadership, our disadministration, does not make me feel comfortable in any way, form, or fashion. And also, we haven't brought up, I don't know if you guys noticed, Senator Rand Paul just tested positive for the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Right, he did. Yep. Yeah. And then when I see them in front of the television talking about this, the leadership team, here we have a man that's spent most of his life in medicine and healthcare, and he's standing there making comments about healthcare, but he's out of his position. He is the Secretary of Housing. He's the Secretary of Housing. That has nothing to do with medicine. You see, and that's the deception we've gone through.
And to even go deeper than that, when I sit here and look at it, like I'm looking at it now, actually, and it's just a bunch of old white men up there talking. There's no diversity whatsoever up there talking about this. So it makes me go, as a black man, like, okay, who are they going to look out for first? Who is their interest? Their interest is helping who? Their interest is not in helping guys like me. It's not.
Well, I think the only thing to fix that is the the elections that are coming up. We need to do something. But I think we've been talking about this particular subject for a while, but I want to get onto something else that I think is very important that most men need to put in their minds as we're going toward this election. In my mind, the United States in the last year has put several people to death who the records show they might have been innocent. We just did a death, I think, a week within the last couple of weeks of Liddell Lee in Arkansas. And all the records show that this man is possibly innocent. Actually, the victim's sister called the governor saying that the person that they're saying he murdered would not have wanted, and the family doesn't want this man put to death. But they put him to death anyway. And what's in the record is they haven't, the trial was not fair. And the government knew this, and the government put him to death anyway. So I don't know why in the United States we brought this back, this capital punishment thing. And there are people who believe that if you've done the crime, you know, you can face whatever it is. But it seems that in the United States recently, we're having problems with putting people to death, and it isn't final that they committed these crimes. Why? What's going on in the United States where this is happening? What do you think, Ron?
Well, personally, I think the death penalty, and I think we've talked about this in another show, but my opinion is that the death penalty is barbaric, and I don't know the right numbers, but we're one of the few civilized Western countries, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that still has the death penalty. The reason I say that is because, you know, for the very same reason that you said, David, you know, this guy could very well have been innocent. And in fact, there have been people that have spent decades in jail, and then it turns out that DNA testing or whatever, they were innocent. So imagine if those people would have been put to death. And the other thing, you know, as a somewhat religious person, I think nobody except God has the right to take another man's or woman's life away. So I think it's wrong, and, you know, I'm not saying that people that commit crime shouldn't be punished. On the contrary, I think, you know, there's lots of punishments that are far worse than death is the ultimate punishment, I guess. But I would much, like, if I committed a crime, I would much, I would not want to spend my whole life in jail. I would rather die, I guess. So, for me, spending my life in jail would be far worse than my life being taken away. So, you know, I don't think it's right.
We're not, but my understanding in the law, we're not coming down with the final, yes, this man is the person that committed this crime. We're coming down to who's the strongest attorney that gets up and says that we should get rid of this person, male or female. You know, I don't know what happened, because we did outlaw capital punishment and then we brought it back, but we seem to be stuck in not knowing how to make it final for the person that's going to be executed. Let's go to some of the young guys. Spencer or Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on capital punishment and the way the government is handling it these days? Let's go with Spencer. Spencer, are you out of the bathroom yet?
I heard.
What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts on it is that, yes, I think capital murder should be outlawed as of right now. And I think now, if you were going to execute someone, because it don't seem like it's going away soon, that maybe you should take a step back and at least go through the facts again, go through the trial, see the way it went, see what DNA was or any evidence that was entered or ones that was not entered before you make that decision. Because, you know, in the last, 10 years, there's been plenty of people that have gotten out because just based on DNA evidence alone, you know. And I think now, since we have that type of technology, that they should go back or at least review the case again before they just, you know, just put these guys or women to death, you know, in such a manner. So I would think that would be the next step, or at least, you know, at least put that into law some way, somehow, to before you put he or she to death, that you go back and review the case, make sure all the evidence was there and there was no tampering with it, there was no false reports or lying and stuff like that, just to make sure, because that's a, you know, I agree with Ron, you know, that's, you're dealing with life and death, and just to, and, you know, just to end someone's life like that, which could have been innocent, or it comes out that they were innocent, then you will see why that step is necessary.
Who do you think should make the final decision? Because usually it's the governor of the state. But who do you think should have the final decision on a death penalty in the United States?
Hey, this is Michael. I think I would say it's to be the victim's family. I think it should come down to the victim's family. But even deeper than that, it's the Republican Party is very big on capital punishment. And it's funny to me how they're against abortions, but they're for capital punishment. Like, I really just don't understand that part. And there was a guy recently, I want to say Alabama, that was put to death, and he didn't even kill anybody. He just happened to be in the house when someone else shot and killed those two police officers, and they put that guy to death. So I think capital punishment is just horrifically horrible, and I think it should be outlawed. And once again, to get political with it, that's just the Republican side of the aisle. They're very big on capital punishment. And once again, it's normally men of color who are being murdered in the electric chair.
The press isn't even we don't even know these things are happening until it comes, you know, in little bitty burps on online or something. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts in your young category? What do you think about the way the United States is handling capital punishment?
I think something should be done, but I don't think something will be done, because it comes to the big question of spending money. So, you know, we love to gain money, but we don't like to spend money. So, and also you can think about all those prison investors out there, you know, that invest in a prison system, you know, it costs them more money to have, like, say, for instance, a person that's on death row capital punishment. They've been sitting there 20 or 30 years. This guy's, you know, 60 years old now. He can't do things to make the state money. As far as, you know, they make inmates do certain things, make tags, all kinds of different things for the states. But I just think that, you know, they don't want to go back and look into these cases. You know, years ago you had detectives framing people. You had a lot of different things happening just to solve cases. They didn't have as nearly as much evidence because they weren't doing their job. And just that because that particular inmate, you know, fit the description somewhat or lived in a certain area, you know, a lot of biased reasons. But you know, and a lot of these inmates couldn't afford an attorney or any help at all, so you know, you depended on the on the state, which they're not going to help you as much anyway. So I just think, you know, a lot of cases should be looked into, but I don't think it's going to happen because we're not going to spend the money to justify a lot of things that we've done in the past.
All right.
And when I say we, talking about the state or the government themselves.
All right. And I want to weigh in one more thing on that point. I think the another thing they need to look at is holding these prosecutors accountable, because you got a lot of prosecutors who purposely get people put on death row by withholding evidence and lying on the individual. And then once it finds out that the prosecutor did lie, he's not held accountable for it. So I think if prosecutors knew that if they get caught or if they break the law, they're going to go to jail and get put on death row themselves, I think the prosecution will stop being so corrupt. But as long as the prosecutor knows that they're not going to get in any trouble for lying and sending this innocent guy to death row, they're going to just keep doing it.
Well, because that's how they're recognized, that's how they run for office and things. I put these people in jail and everything. But one of the things that I want to – we only got 10 minutes left on the show, and there's a couple of things I want to talk about. But one of the things is I want to go back to the coronavirus just for a second here, because one of the things that's coming up, and we as men, I want to hear your different thoughts on this one topic so that all those men that are listening – can put it in their minds, because the coronavirus, and then we're being told to stay in, and it keeps going on. Mother's Day is going to come up, and we're not, men should not be visiting their mothers on Mother's Day if they live out of town, you know, all that travel and stuff and things like that. So the thought was, how would you handle Mother's Day if you were unrestricted like it is now? Don, how would you handle that? If you're one of the guys who I think is role models here, how would you handle Mother's Day based on under the environment we're under now?
You know, I was sitting here praying that you call on me. And I'm
wow.
so glad you did. I'm so glad you did, my brother. Listen, let me say something to you, David. My mother went home to be with the Lord 2 years ago. And if she were living today, there would be nothing in this world to keep me from sitting down talking with her at this moment right now. I don't care if a virus, I don't care what type of disease, I'm going to sit down and talk with my mother on Mother's Day or any other day. It doesn't make any difference if the federal government or people say it's a Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day to me.
All right. Good point. Let me pick one of the younger guys, Spencer. What would you suggest to people in your age category on Mother's Day if we're under the restrictions we are now? I like Don's comment, but I don't want him to influence you. But if you didn't hear Don's comment, what would you say young guys should do to their mother and mother-in-laws on Mother's Day under the restrictions we are?
Well, with my generation, I just think they're going to go anyways. You know, especially if they're mama boys, you know, they're going to see their mother regardless if they're, you know, either out of town, if they can make it, you know, if there's a way to get to their mother, they're going. So, and I'm just speaking, you know, that's what I think for my generation, you know, because it's your mother, you know, like especially mother boys, mama boys, like I said, I think they will still go out and visit their mother. Regardless of the circumstances.
I have a question. I thought all men and boys were mama's boys because it seems girls are for the daddies and boys are for their mamas. So how do you define mama's boys? That's a new term I haven't heard. Why did you bring that up there, Spencer? What are you saying?
Well, just based on what you just said, you know, is daddy's girls and mama's boys, you know, is – I guess it's just that's just the way it is. But I'm not, you know. I mean, not all of us were raised with our mothers. Some of us were just raised by our fathers, also. So I'm not saying that all men are mama boys. But you know, it's just your mother is everything, and it could be just the opposite sex type of thing also. So that your daughter is more attracted to the father and. The males more attracted to their mother.
Yeah.
So, Michael, how would you answer this question?
Well, I agree with. I think it was the first time I answered. Every day is Mother's Day for me. I mean, I'm fortunate to still have my mother, and every day I get to see her is Mother's Day to me. So I don't just need one particular day to go. Oh, I'm going to celebrate my mother, but. There's no mountain high enough, no river wide enough that would stop me from going to see my mother if I needed to go see my mother. So I agree that, this disease isn't going to stop that as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's going to stop a lot of guys. And I'm one of those guys that is a mama's boy, and there is a big difference. I know a lot of guys who are not mama's boys, so there is a big difference from young men who are mama's boys and young men who are not.
Okay.
I got to jump in. This
go ahead,
is Bruce.
Bruce. Mm-hmm.
By definition, affectionate definition, you guys are using as mama's boys. I am too. However, I would not, for my own, I would not blindly just go down and see her. She's a ways away. If I drive down to Florida to see her, I would. She's passed away. But in light of what's going on right now, let's say most of your mothers are up there in age. I know, Don, your mother, or well, your mother's gone now too, but they could be. And even if they're not, I would at least cross my mind that you've got to, you know, what kind of condition is she in? I would feel ungodly terrible if somehow I caused the disease to enter her environment. So I wouldn't just blindly go see my mom come hell or high water. Would I contact her? Would I Skype her, even though I'm not a computer geek? Would I call her? All of that, yes. And then I would decide with her, is it all right for me to come down? I really want to see you. But I didn't hear any of you talk about that aspect of possibly causing harm to her in light of what's going on right now.
I was going to say that, Bruce, but what I would do differently is I don't care, you know, because I would still want to see her, but I would make sure that I don't hug her, kiss her, you know, but at least that I'm there in her presence. And, you know, my mom's been gone since 94, so I really wish that I still had her. I would not let this get in the way of me seeing her, but I would make sure that I don't come close enough to give her, you know, the virus or, you know, that's what I would do.
You know, Go ahead, Don.
I'd like to add on to that. Everything has an expiration date. Everything. I don't care what it is. It has an expiration date. And I don't care if it's a virus or whatever it is, or sickness or whatever it is. I'm going to go religious. I'm going to go spiritual on you right now. I got you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together for the good, those that love God, that are called by God according to his purpose. So God had an expiration date before he even sent my mother to earth. Diseases don't have anything to do with it. Nothing.
All right. Well, those are some thoughts I think we're putting out there for men to think about, because it'll be too late to say it in May that, you know, this is what you should be doing. You should be thinking about these things ahead of time. But there's a couple of little quick things I want to throw out there. You know, there is something that I found very interesting about this coronavirus, because they start closing all the beauty shops and barbershops and things down. With all the beauty shops closed, I noticed that I'm not seeing as many selfies on the phone as I used to see, all these selfies of these girls with taking pictures of themselves. I don't see a lot of that now that all the beauty shops and stuff are closed. Do you think that our Americans have a little what do you think about that? Jeremiah? Are you seeing
you haven't been seeing much of what?
No,
wait a minute. Somebody just
you said you haven't been seeing much of what?
A lot of selfies of the, you know, now about the beauty shops and stuff are closed. You don't see, you know, a lot of people taking selfies a lot.
Yeah, everybody's as not as beautiful as they want to be, right?
I have a comment.
Okay.
We need a we need a female comment, David.
Someone's trying to.
I think that because we're all stuck at home and we're not able to do anything, that nobody's putting forth the effort to take a picture. Normally you have somewhere to go, so you take a picture before you leave, but if you're stuck at home, we're all in sweatpants.
Yeah, but there was a time when stuck at home stopped the ladies from getting their hair fixed and up and out. Are you saying now that the young generation here, without somebody doing it, they don't know how to do their own thing?
I mean, I know how to do my own hair. I know how to get by, but I mean, not everybody does, I guess.
Wow. Go ahead. Somebody was trying to say something. We only got 2 seconds left, like 30 seconds. Go ahead.
We got to stop the 4K and the extra resolution on our TVs because we're getting way too close to the details of how we look. It's not going to be pretty.
Wow. All right. You have to bring this to a close. We've been listening to the man's voice, and we've had these gentlemen from all over the United States calling in and did a great show today. We hope to see you again next when we do this again. So you guys have a great week. Stay in. Don't wash your hands.
Yes, all of you too. Remember, 6 feet. Six feet or more.
I did see a girl getting her hair done through a mail slot.
Remember.
That's true. It was going viral. She paid for it in advance.
Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Thank you.